is supposed to be in the intentions of a challenge. It's supposed to be something that says, okay, we've learned all these things for all these weeks. Now, what are you going to do with what we learned? But the problem with being spirit-filled means that we have to give over ourselves. By human nature, we have an innate desire to control our own lives. We like to be in charge. We like to be in control of what's going on. It goes against our nature to give our control over to someone else. To be honest with you, it makes some people mad when they have to relent or give up some of what they consider as their control. Sometimes when people get a little bit older and they no longer can take care of themselves and they have to go into a nursing home, lots of times people fight against that. And it's because of the fact, and I don't blame them, they don't want to give up the freedoms that they have. I was reading an illustration a pastor had written talking about how nowadays computer hackers can actually get into people's cars. I don't know if you ever heard that before, but they can actually cause a car to start playing the radio and they don't even turn the radio on, or cause the car to blow out cold air instead of hot air. They can even lock somebody into their vehicle. Now I tell you, if my car started blowing hot air instead of cold air, it might make my wife happy, but it would make me unhappy if they start playing the radio without me even doing it, or they lock me in or stop my car, things like that. Boy, that would make me pretty upset. That would make me mad. It's amazing what computer hackers nowadays can do. That's an article that's written from PC World Magazine, if you ever want to look it up. But why is that? Well, number one, we feel like we're in danger, but number two, we feel like we're out of control. We don't have control any longer. And in our Christian lives, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give the complete control of ourselves over to God. And that's what being filled with the Spirit of God is. And we've been given a challenge. We talked about what the Holy Spirit did for us for salvation, what He can do for us for serving, what He can do with us when it comes to separation. We've talked about all these different wonderful things that the Holy Spirit actually does in our lives. Now, what are we going to do with that information? Because this is something we are capable of doing. It's just that our flesh tells us we don't need to give everything over to Him. Our flesh tells us we want to keep something. That's because that's our desire. We like to be in control. We like to have at our way. D.L. Moody, once when he was listening to preaching, he heard a preacher make a statement. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to Him." Moody said that night, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." And D.L. Moody was a man who shook two different continents for God. But at the end of his life, he says, the world still has to see. Still, even though I let God use me, but to find a person that was completely surrendered over to God. You say, well, I'm completely surrendered over to God. That's what this lesson's about. It's a challenge. Am I really completely surrendered over to God? Do I really go to God in the morning and say, Lord, the best I know how, I'm going to do everything the way that I think You want me to do today. I'm going to surrender all of my life to do the things the way You want done. That's what being spirit-filled is. That's by letting the Spirit have control. It means, yeah, I might be used to being mean to somebody. I'm not going to. I might be used to worrying about something. Well, I'm not going to let that be in my thought life. Am I really, truly spirit-filled? And so this morning's lesson is the spirit-filled life. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, deserves full and absolute control. He is God in you. You belong to Him. You are His vessel and His ambassador. And the Bible says it is a reasonable service. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying here that God, when we talk about us giving all over to God and saying, God, you know what? To the best of my ability today, everything I say, everything I do, everything I think, to the best of my ability, I'm going to try to give that over to You, and I'm going to try to walk like Jesus Christ. I'm going to get up today, and I'm going to be thinking about that, and it's going to be my goal, and it's going to be my desire. I'm going to put my own interests aside, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You know what? The Bible's saying that's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. Somebody listen to this and hear the challenge and maybe isn't a Christian or maybe a hard-hearted Christian or a cold-hearted Christian be, that's ridiculous. How in the world can you live like that? The Bible says it's a reasonable service that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We say, okay, God, here's my life. You can use it for whatever You want. You know, to say that, you know, even as a challenge, because if you're honest with an open heart, that means that there's some things I have to give up. There's some strongholds I have to tear down. There's some things in my life that I've done for so long that I don't think there's anything wrong with. But if I'm going to do everything the Holy Spirit wants me to do, then there's something I need to change. And it says, be not conformed to this world. You say, well, I'm not conformed to this world. Well, take a day and say, okay, Lord, today's the day. Completely surrender. I'm going to do whatever it is, whatever you speak my heart about. You know, if he wants me to read my Bible in the morning, I'm going to read my Bible. If he wants me to memorize, if he wants me to invite, if he wants me to be nice to my husband, if he wants me to be nice to my wife, if he wants me to be kind to whatever it is, Lord, today is your day. And that's what you'll see as God works in your heart and your life. The challenge that is not to be conformed to this world, because the world is all around us. It is affecting us. It is infesting us in some ways. And we see all this around us and we compare ourselves to the world and say, I'm not that bad. Look it. But you know, when we compare ourselves to God, then we guess come to the point where we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to be able to prove what is that is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit will bring a transformation and a power into your life that you could not know any other way. He leads you to an abundant life. There's some benefits here. You know, there's a benefit to being spiritual. You say, Pastor, why in the world would I want to do that? Why in the world would I want to give up complete control? Why in the world would I want to be spirit-filled if it meant that I do everything that God wanted me to do and the things I enjoy doing, those thoughts I like having, those relationships I have fun with, the fact that I get to be quick-witted, and the fact that I get to be what I want to be? Why would I want to give that up? I've been like this for so many years. There's benefits to being spirit-filled. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's saying if you will give your life over to him, he will give you a life that is more abundant. He will give you a life that's beyond your wildest dreams. You say, Pastor, I've never experienced that. Have we ever fully committed ourselves? I know we go to the altar, we make a commitment, we give our lives in a sense. But then when we get up and we walk away, we may change one or two things. A spirit-filled, abundant life is one that says, okay, God, I know I have these thoughts. I know I have these inhibitions. I know I have these hindrances. It means I'm going to go past that. The Holy Spirit can transform and bring power into your life that you otherwise will never, ever know. He can lead you into a life that is abundant and full, a life beyond your capacity. And this is the whole point of it, is life that is beyond our capacity. It's not what we can do. And that's what most people are doing in their Christian lives. They have surrendered certain things and certain parts of it. And according to the world, they're good people. They even have people tell them, hey, look, I appreciate this about you. I thank you about this and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Living beyond our capacity means, hey, this is what I want. And the truth of it is most Christians never get there. The truth of this, most Christians do not live a spiritual life. They are guided somewhat by the Spirit. They are led somewhat. Do they love the Bible? Yes. Do they love coming to church? Yes. Do they love their pastor? Depends on who it is. You know, whatever it is, they have a desire and their heart's desire is there. But when we're talking about being not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God, that means that He is completely on the throne and that we're letting Him control. We should be eager to experience all that God desires to do in you by His Spirit. And that's what we talked about these last 12 weeks. You know, He can do so much. The service that what a service He can do through us. We see it from people in the Bible. The fruits He can bring out of us. There are some people in the world who I don't think will ever have any type of joy or any type of peace or long suffering. No way for this person. Love. Yeah, right. But you know what? God says He can bring that out in a person's life when we're being spirit-filled. Charles Spurgeon said, the greatest crime of sinners is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. We looked at it last week. And the greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Spirit. In our lives, He is here with us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. And after we finish this lesson, we're faced with a decision. We're faced with a decision regarding the Holy Spirit. Will we neglect Him or will we be filled with Him? Have these sermons merely provided us with a good head knowledge of some profound possibilities of what it would be like, and we can dream what it'd be like for somebody, maybe dream for our children to be like that, or dream for our pastor to be like that, or dream for our mate to be like that. But it's not just profound possibilities. It actually is a daily practice of our lives changing because of what we heard. Knowing about the Holy Spirit is completely different than experiencing Him at work in your life. You could live beyond your capacity, but it's up to you to avail yourself of the Spirit. It's up to you to surrender to Him and to choose to fellowship with Him continually. This is your choice. This is your opportunity. We all have the same Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. He says He can produce the same fruits in us. Yes, He gives some of us different gifts. He gives some of us that we learned about those different gifts. We even ask you to take those tests and see where you're at. And sometimes I've listened to some of you said, you know, I was surprised by that test I took. I didn't realize this is where one of my strengths are at. I'm going to try to encourage. I'm going to try to be a part of that and try to develop those things that God has enabled me and He has designed me to do. So today, last week, we looked at three ways we sin against the Holy Spirit as Christians. Today, we're going to look at three different things the Bible tells us we're supposed to do as Christians. Number one is be filled with the Spirit. You say, Pastor, what you're saying is too much, is too hard, is asking too much. It's what the Bible asks from us. Being filled with the Spirit is the act of emptying myself of known sin, yielding myself completely to the Holy Spirit. It is an act of the will. It is an act of surrender and prayer. It is not some type of sensationalism. It does not provide some type of feeling or exhilarating experience. It is a decision by faith to yield complete control of myself to the Spirit. We sometimes call this dying to self. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Never let I live. Now, some people use this as their key verse, life verse, theme verse. And it's a great verse. I am crucified. It means I have crucified my flesh. Nevertheless, because I've crucified my flesh, I live, but it's not me that's doing the living. It's Christ that lives inside of me. It's His Spirit that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's saying, I have said no to my flesh. Now Jesus Christ is living through me. And it's not just my, even though I had to live in this flesh, I'm doing this by faith. Romans chapter 6 talks about what reigns in our body. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and then your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What it's saying there is, as you have a choice, you can yield yourself to those members of unrighteousness or members of righteousness. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And these passages teach us that we constantly choose what we're yielding to. We're constantly saying, okay, this is the way I want to do it, or this is the way the Holy Spirit of God wants me to do it. D.L. Moody, one time he was speaking before a large crowd, and he picked up a glass that was empty, and he says, this glass is full of air. And he says, how in the world could you get the air out of this glass? And someone said, you know, they gave some suggestions. One person has shouted out, create a vacuum. A vacuum will suck it out. And they said the vacuum would shatter the glass. He says, and then he took out a pitcher and he filled it up with water. And he says, once it's filled up with water, the air is not going to be there anymore. And in our Christian lives, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we have to empty ourselves out. We have to be emptied of these other things that are controlling our lives and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And many Christians think being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is something that's mystical, something that is intended just for those that are in full-time Christian service. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's a matter of choice. See, being filled with the Spirit is a daily decision. Begin every day by consciously and verbally yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. And that daily decision is not just enough. In all reality, it is a hourly decision, a moment decision. We need to grow and develop into the mind of Christ. We need to start looking at things and letting Him control and say, this is how I want you to respond. This is what I want you to say. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, and which also in Christ Jesus. of every passing day, you should consciously yield to the filling of the Holy Spirit. You are growing and maturing in Christ. You are being transformed into His image day by day. You may not feel like you're growing year by year. You might not see how it is, but after your periods of times, you go back and say, wow, I see how God helped me. I know one way that they used to measure kids is they used to make marks on the wall. Anybody ever do that? I know we didn't do that as kids. We get in trouble. We put marks on the wall, but we did that at my house. And sometimes we've painted it over since then, I think. And you get it and you see it. And if you try to measure yourself every single day, the only way you're going to grow every day is if you gain weight. But growing this way doesn't usually happen every single day. And you can measure yourself, you know, once a day, every day for a whole month and not grow. But if you get to a certain age where it's a growing process, if you wait every year, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see growth. You're going to see encouragement. If you wait a few years before, and sometimes when my boys go to doctors, and we know that they've gotten bigger over the years, and, you know, they go to the doctors and they say, oh, you've grown an inch, you've grown 2 inches. If they went to the doctor back-to-back days, they'd be like, no need to measure you. You're not going to grow like that. Same thing for Christian lives. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is a matter of choice. It's a daily decision. You're not going to grow quickly, but after a period of time, you will definitely grow. The moment you yield to the Holy Spirit of God, it's not a feeling. It's a decision by faith. You know what it's saying? It's you know what? God says I can have it. God says I can do it. And I'm going to yield myself. I'm deciding by faith. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God is not a feeling, it's a faith decision. You ask for it, you yield to it, you accept by faith that God is going to do it. And that moment you do it, you ask Him to fill you, and you accept by faith that He has answered your prayer, regardless of how you feel. And if you will go and look back at your life, you can dramatically see that God's changed your life. I tell you, if we would give ourselves over, and there's been times and moments in my life where I said, God, I want you to be in complete control. You look back on your day, you look back on your week, you're going to see that He's changed things and that things are going to be different if you believe. But it is a repeated process. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, you know what? Being filled with the Spirit of God is not a one-time event. It's a moment-by-moment lifestyle. We learned last week we can quench the Holy Spirit of God. We learned last week we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And this is a repeated process. This is a daily battle. This is something that every day something else is going to come up. And every day you're going to have to require, and moment by moment, saying, Lord, I don't want my control. I want yours. I want you to do what you want me to do, Lord. And living a Holy Spirit life requires a quick response. Create in me a clean heart is what David says. And being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is not getting more and more of the Spirit. He is the Spirit of God, but is the Spirit of God getting more and more of me? You think about it. You know, so many times people say, Lord, I need more of you. That's not it. The Holy Spirit of God is, it says, F.E. Meyer says, do not pray for more of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. It doesn't come in pieces. Every child of God has all of Him, but does He have all of you? That's the key here. It's that He's saying, hey, look, I need more of the Holy Spirit. No, He needs more of you is the difference. Betty Stamm says, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. Betty Stamm was a missionary who gave her life. I think it was in China. What a wonderful, or Japan, one of those two. I get them mixed together sometimes. And, she gave up her life. They killed her. They martyred her and her husband back in 1934. But she gave that prayer. She even continues on in the prayer. I didn't write it all down. I give myself, my life, all utterly to Thee by Thine forever. Fill me and seal me with Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. I mean, who talks like that? Someone who's Spirit-filled, someone who was used by God to go over with her husband and give her life for the cause of Christ. And she has a special story that one time maybe we'll talk about a little bit about the child and things like that. Let's see here. So not only are we supposed to be filled with the Spirit, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. You know, this idea of walking, it means that if you're going to walk with somebody, you got to be going the same direction. You got to go the same pace. When I when I'm walking in a mall, I don't know why, maybe it's because I'm trying to get out and my wife's trying to stay in, I don't know what it is, but when we're walking in a store, I'm usually walking faster, and sometimes a few minutes later or a few seconds later, I look back and she's 5 feet behind me. Well, I want to walk with my wife. She makes me look good, so she's pretty, so I enjoy spending time. We're going to be there together. There's no sense for me to be walking my pace. If she's not going to walk my pace, then I need to walk her pace. And walking in the Spirit means that we're making a decision to walk together. It's a developed habit. Earlier we talked about being filled. That filling will mean that it's a lifestyle, and it means that we'll walk with Him. Walking in the Spirit is a natural result of being filled with the Spirit. The word walk implies to march in step, to fall into rank, to conform to the virtue of. In the Bible, we would walk is often referenced to our daily lifestyle. Now, here's the deal is, the great thing we know is God's not going to change. Sometimes I'll look to my wife and say, you know, can't you hurry up a little bit more? And she's like, well, can't you slow down? And it's the same, you know, we learn to walk together. If you're waiting on God to change, it's not going to happen. Walking in the Spirit means we're walking in step with God. And that's not always easy, because sometimes the valleys He sends us through are really, really dark. Sometimes the things that we have to experience, they're not fun. When God tells us to forgive, I don't like, if I'm Spirit filled, I'm going to do that. I'm going to live the abundant life, the sweeter side of life by forgiving. But I'm like you, when I'm in the car and the guy's got his blinker on and he takes 30 seconds to make the turn, I'm like, hello, are you going to turn sometime? I don't beat my horn or, you know, curse at him or pull him over in road rage, but I'm there saying, come on, I have that, you know, I'm human, I'm flesh. We all have things that we struggle with, but the Bible says if we're going to walk in tune with God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start acting like God. So you're Mormon. You're saying we can become like gods. No, I didn't say we're going to become a god. No, I said that we're going to become like Christ, because the Bible says we can become like Christ. That's our goal. And someday we'll be like Him. And that's speaking about the way that we're going to be out there. Now, He is the God. He is the one that's sitting on the right hand throne. Don't get that wrong. You're not going to become a god. We're going to worship Jesus Christ forever and ever, and God Himself. But, here, it is a developed habit. Think of what the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not put, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some people say, how in the world can I get over this sin? Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with it. And then, guess, walk with it. Day by day, it's like he's a friend of yours, and you're talking to him, and you're this and that. I told you before, when I go, when I'm trying to lose weight, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, I go walking, and I go up Rosecroft, and I can only imagine what those people back there think of me. That guy's out there talking to himself again. He's out there just talking and talking. That's because that's what I'm trying to walk with the Lord. I'm talking with Him, and that's what I desire. And it's not always verbally, but it's sometimes it is, and you're just walking with Him throughout your day. It's like walking with someone you enjoy walking with. Some of you might be your mates. Hopefully all of you it's your mates, but some of you might be a good friend. You're just walking with Him, speaking with Him. But you have to walk in His way, in His step. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So these are truths. Now there's a dangerous neglect. There's people who will neglect the Holy Spirit of God. It's probably one of the things that most of us do. It boils down to an everyday choice. Think of it this way, when you begin your day by asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, He will. If you yield your life and control over to Him, it's a good choice. If you start right, the day unfolds, you will face a myriad of circumstances, emotions, thoughts, feelings, desires, decisions, and possibilities. Walking in the Spirit is a developed discipline by listening and obeying Him, but there's also a dangerous neglect here. It becomes a developed habit, or you can neglect Him. Look what this verse says. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. You know, how many girls, when they get ready to get married and they spend all that money, wait a second, they spend all their dad's money. Sometimes I know they buy their own. Sometimes other people, they spend all that money. They're just going to forget to wear their dress. They're just going to wear something else. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? That would be, Miss Ann, you would have killed Tiffany, wouldn't you? She's like, I ain't saying anything. So it's the same thing. It's that, you know, would you forget that? No, that's obvious. There are some things in this world we do not forget. There are some things in this world we do not forget. We don't forget our husband or wife's name. I mean, unless you get older and you forget who they are. So we don't forget, you know, where we live at, I hope. We don't. There are some things in this world we just don't forget. And that's what this is saying, that people have forgotten God by number of days. They don't even put him in the equation. They don't even think about it. And God delights in the fact that we remember him, that we include him, that we call upon him, that we obey him. Most Christians ignore and neglect the spirit and walk in the flesh, but that is not to say that we do not love God. That's not to say that we don't want his power. It's not to say that we don't want to have a relationship with him. But instead, if we really truly want this, we gotta remember him. Every choice we make, we either choose to hear and obey the Spirit, or we choose a carnal life. We can downplay the little decisions of life. We can say that's not really that important. That's not really that big of a deal. But little decisions add up to something big. And a Christian who is not living in the power of the Spirit, they are living below their privileges. If we're not living in the power of the Spirit of God, we're living below our privileges. And if we will begin to start yielding ourselves over to God, we will become that spiritual man that the Bible speaks about. And I think it's important we understand, walk in the Spirit. Don't neglect him. You know, sometimes we neglect those that we love. Sometimes when I got a long list of things to do, I'll tell my wife, my boys, hey, look, I got all these things to do. I'm going to neglect you today. I don't use that word, but I'm not going to spend time with you today, but I'll make it up to you next week sometime. And I'll spend time, and usually I'm going to spend time with them every single day and try to do something little with them every day and I got to focus on. They're always kind about it. But it's a dangerous neglect. When's the last time we really ask God what he wants us to do and the decisions that we have control in? Obviously, we want him to save our loved ones. Obviously, we want him to heal his cancer because we can't do those things. But a walking with him means a guiding. How do you really want me to treat that person? What is it that you want me to do with the money after my tithe? What is it that you want me to say? Who is it that you want me to invite? Who is it that I need to work with? You know, those type of things, that walking the Spirit that we really could do on our own if we wanted to, but he's saying it's a developed habit. It's not going to happen tomorrow. What happens today is we make a decision. What happens tomorrow is that we continue to make that decision day after day after day. The last one is pray in the Spirit. So he tells us to walk, be filled with the Spirit, tells us to walk in the Spirit, he tells us to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit is pray without ceasing. It's a spiritual weapon. One of the greatest spiritual exercises you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit is pray. It's more than a conversation. It's a building, growing, battling endeavor. It's a vital part of winning the spiritual warfare. It's an important part of just spending time with him alone. The Bible says in Jude 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." The story of Jude is written, this book of Jude is written to Christians that are facing trials and they're under fire. And he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves." Now, how do you build up yourselves? These men were told to contend for their faith. He said, "Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." It's a spiritual battle and a weapon. You remember Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. It talks about all those different things about fighting and this and that. But at verse number 18, you know what it tells them? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So it is a battle, praying always. What the church needs today is not more machinery or better organizational skills or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men in mighty prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. And this is a continual conversation. This is something that we've seen the Holy Spirit of God as an intercessor with us, and we continually pray. It's something that we don't get in the morning time, and we leave in the morning time. We don't just do our devotions that do them and pray and mark it off and leave him. We walk with him, and we continually talk to him. We continually boldly to come to him. Remember, the Christian life is a journey. It's a journey of growth. It's a journey of us continually learning. It's a life of prayer. It's learned discipline. It's a developed habit. If we start right now, we ask the Holy Spirit of God to remind us, ask him to teach us these things, cry out to God and claim his help for us. We need all these things if we're really, truly going to be filled with him. I put a sample prayer there And I think it's a good prayer. It's a prayer that I use at times. But to be honest with you, if we look at this prayer and we read it and we really mean it, it means that it's like the Betty Spam prayer. You can have your own prayer, but this is the thought of it. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being my comforter and guide today. As best as I know how, once again, don't try to figure out how, just as best as I know how, I yield myself to you right now. I ask you to fill me, control me, lead me, and guide me. You think about these words, fill me. That's easy to say. Of course we want more of God. But then you say, control me. That's when we start saying, I don't know if I really want to say that word. We're okay with lead me, because leading me means I'm going, he's taking me in the right direction, guiding me. But control me is that's hard. I need you today. I choose to be the servant of righteousness. I choose to follow your call. I choose to live in the Spirit, to be spiritually minded. And I ask you to have complete control of my life as I serve you today. That is a wonderful prayer, that something you could take with you, and you could take and you could say that every day, every morning. Write your own. I mean, we don't want you to be ritualistic. But if we really, truly want to be filled, if we really, like we talked about, all those cool things over these last 12 weeks, what he did for us at salvation, what he can do for us at sanctification, what he can do with us providing us strength, what he can do with us in providing us in our service, what he can do with us in providing the fruits of the Spirit, all those things we learned. And we said, man, that is really cool. I'm glad God can do that with an individual. Where does it start? It starts by acting like this. I thought it was kind of interesting. Corrie ten Boom, most of you probably knew who she is. She gave the illustration one time, and she said she had a gardening glove, and she was teaching somebody, and she says, here, she put the gardening glove on the ground or whatever. And she says, this empty glove is useless unless it's filled. It can't do anything. It can't accomplish what it has been designed to do. It cannot fulfill the purposes of it unless someone fills it and uses it. She wrote, like the empty glove, I am nothing but flesh, spiritually dead and useless. But one day, God saved my soul and sent His Spirit into my life. He picked up my life. He placed His hand in it. And because of God's hand within me, I can now accomplish all that He created me to accomplish. If I accomplish anything in my life, it is not me, for I am just a glove. It is the power of God, the hand of God within me. And you are the glove, and the Holy Spirit is the hand. Are we making room for Him? Is He able to put Himself in us? I think about that, and I don't want to be a glove just laying there, created for His purpose and His use. I need to be filled with His power and His strength so I can do that. So the choice is yours. Once again, it's a choice. It's not an easy thing. If it was an easy thing, everybody would be filled with the Spirit. Everybody would be doing great things for God. Everybody would be used by God. And you know what? The world be turned upside down. You say, where do you see that at? You go back to the first century church. You see what Stephen did, as we learned about last week. We're going to hit on this morning just for a second. We see that not only Stephen, but then Philip, that we're going to see this week, goes out to Samaria and preaches the gospel and sees a great revival. Then Jews later on to win the Ethiopian eunuch. And then you see Saul become Paul and does great things for God. Where does it start? It starts here by saying, Lord, I'm yours. I know we say it, we sing, I surrender all, but this is where the rubber meets the road. Does it mean that we don't love Him if we don't do this? No. It means we don't love Him enough. Does it mean that we are horrible Christians? No. You're the average. It's what most people do. This is the person that He's talking about having abundant life. This is the person that lives on the sweeter side of life. These are the characters in the Bible that we see when they say that they're filled with power and spirit and might. This is the type of life they're willing to live. These are the people that we inspire to want to be like. These are the people that we send out to many times be our missionaries or people that we look up to. I want to encourage you this morning. The Spirit-filled life is a life worth living, but is it a life that you're willing to choose to have? Something you can have. Now, hopefully in these weeks, you've gotten a desire or maybe a taste of what God can do in your life to the point that you had come to the spot that I want this. I want to do this more. I want to understand this more. I'm going to write out my own prayer like this and then ask God to use me this way and keep on going back to it. And I really honestly believe if you have an open and sincere heart and you start praying this way, either you'll stop praying this way or God will begin to work in your heart in some areas. Either you'll give that up and say, that's ridiculous, that's stupid, it doesn't help. Or you'll say, you know what? There are things in my life that I know that I need to work on. Lord, I'm just going to let you take care of it. The choice is yours. Am I going to be spirit-filled? Or am I going to be filled with something else? Because we do have something that's filling us. We do have something that controls us. But what am I going to allow God to use in my life? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for today.